All right. I have my colleagues here, Dr. Sam Forju, and also want to thank my co-authors, Marsha and Jung Jae-yoon. So I'm going to be talking about the environmental barriers and motivators of walking and comparing older versus younger adults. So this study actually has a pretty standard structure from introduction to the results and comparisons. So we talked a lot. I think it's benefit of going the last. We covered a lot of background. So we are expecting a significant increase in the number of community-dwelling older adults and also the importance of creating barrier-free and senior-free environments are even more significant. So the gaps and the learning objective today is actually to identify environmental barriers and motivators, especially among obese and overweight adults, and also comparing older and younger adults' perceptions about the barriers and motivators. And also, I will show a few examples of how environment can be modified to better support walking among older adults. It's a cross-section study, primarily relied on online surveys, although we gave an option to do paper surveys for those who asked. English-speaking only, obese and overweight, and for those who are able to walk at least a quarter mile. And sample size is fairly small, 161, because of the special selection criteria. Response rate is not too bad. And the study setting includes urban, suburban, and rural, but primarily communities that belong to suburban and rural categories in central Texas. And participants were actually recruited from a local hospital network where Dr. Sam Forger is affiliated with. That's why we could identify those with a BMI of 25 or higher. And the survey instrument was actually developed around the three main constructs that are known to be correlated with walking, all the way from personal, social, to environmental variables. We had to control for the personal factors to really see what environmental factors have independent roles. Today we were able to only identify bivariate, but hopefully we have a little more results later on. The variables, the outcome is the odds of walking at least once a week. It doesn't seem a lot, but in Texas, there are many people who don't walk at all. Although people might be walking, but they don't think they are walking. So walking is such a natural activity. Sometimes defining walking is a very difficult task. And we looked at the barriers and motivators and analytical method. We looked at the differences between the older and younger adults using chi-square and bivariate statistics analysis. So the population, we have three age brackets. I used 50 years and 60 years as two cutoffs to define younger versus older adults. In primarily white and female participants, many of them are married, still employed, and many of them have college graduate degree. And income, moderate to high income, we have health status mostly filling all the way from very good to some fair. The results, we have about 56% reporting walking at least once a week. Most of the walking was done for recreational purposes, so utilitarian walking, meaning walking to stores or to other places for daily routine, was very rare in our communities, primarily because we don't have any places to walk to, not within a walkable distance. So only 6 out of 171 reported walking to these utilitarian destinations. It's pretty depressing, but that's the reality of many of the smaller communities in Texas and elsewhere. Older adults, compared to the younger adults, walked more. So on average, they walked about one day more per week. And they're more likely to walk in the morning and on weekends. These temporal dimensions are also important when you're designing parks, etc. I'm coming from a design discipline where you put the trees on which side of the trail will cast shadow in different time of the day, where you put the benches, right, will be related to the time of the day where people are using. And also older adults are more likely to walk with friends compared to younger adults, more likely to walk in the evening hours and also walk with family members. Destinations. Perceiving something to be around in the neighborhood is the first step. Before knowing what's available, people are not going to be even thinking about walking there. So we kind of looked at what's actually available. People think that's available. These are rank ordered in three types of destinations, all the way from recreation, commercial, as well as service destinations. You can see the top the most popular destinations are primarily related to recreational destinations, both based on perceiving those to be present in the neighborhood and also using it for walking purposes, and followed by some commercial destinations. But unfortunately, we have fast food restaurants on top of the category. And then down the table, we have a bit more commercial and service-related destinations. So only a few people, when you look at the percentage of those who are walking, 0.6% is quite low. And we also asked people about where they walked for recreational purposes. Before, in the table, we asked whether they walked to as a destination. This is where they walked in as a places for recreational activity, recreational walking. So younger adults, they seem to prefer outdoors a little bit more, neighborhood streets and biking and walking path. And older adults seem to prefer indoor venues like treadmill at home or shopping mall. So those are statistically different between the older and younger adults. But both groups, still the number one places for walking is the neighborhood streets. So neighborhood streets, although it's a transportation infrastructure, it seems to serve public health purposes by promoting healthy, active lifestyle, especially recreational walking. And barriers, we looked at personal barriers, as expected, time and motivation, which we know and those are confirmed to be correct. And older adults, the blue colors are more likely to be perceived by older adults, the health problems, as expected. And because our population includes obese and older adults, we had also the self-confidence in the appearance as one of the barriers, especially among younger adults. And then the motivators, we asked them what personal issues would help them walk more. More time, energy, number one among younger adults. But the three other, two, three, four motivators are more commonly mentioned among older adults, better health, if the doctor suggested them to walk more, and also more knowledge about the benefits of walking. So although I did focus on walking from environmental perspective, these personal barriers actually were more commonly reported by the parents, by the patients. So we have to kind of look at these factors and then ways that these may perhaps interact with the environmental factors. So finally, the environmental barriers. So these are the top barriers mentioned by all adults, all the way from bad weather. So bad weather from the other side, not the snow, but the heat is a huge problem. Other than number one and four, which are not the built, although related to the built environment, everything else on top of these on these popular barrier lists are related to the built environment, meaning that it can be modified. We can fix things. So although depressing many barriers, but it's encouraging that a lot of these are fixable compared to some other personal barriers, which are very difficult to fix or change. So these are the three out of those barriers that were significantly different between the older and older, younger adults. So older adults were more likely to mention lacking benches or places to rest, and also safety concerns about injury being important, while younger adults mentioned safety concerns more popularly. So those confirm, I think, a few of the previous presentations as well. And motivators, what will really help them walk more? Of course, number one is the weather. And then when you look at the lightings and the walking surfaces and trails, shade and sidewalk conditions, a lot of these are really something that the public sector can really work with the community to really improve. And also help findings like this would probably also help funding agencies and public sectors to make better allocations for improvement projects, not putting all the money for automobile, but also pedestrian infrastructure as well. So among those, four of these had significant differences between older and younger adults. So because younger adults prefer the outdoor venues for recreational walking, we have younger adults more likely reporting proximity to park and recreation, and also path and trails to be significant. And older adults, again, with saying benches and places to rest, and also smooth walking surface to be more important for them. So those are the factors that are significantly different between the two groups. So although there are a lot of common barriers and motivators, there are some specific barriers, motivators that are more important for older adults requiring priority intervention efforts. So in summary, looking at the environmental barriers and motivators, and also some personal ones as well, so those under this grayed area are the barriers that are motivators that are more important for older adults, including personal factors, including health and doctor's recommendations and knowledge about benefits of walking. But the environmental ones related to safety, related to injury, which is linked to the surface conditions and other factors that these patients reported, and then the benches, and then the surface conditions. So discussions. So how we can go about creating supportive environments for older adults? And by creating supportive environments for senior people, I think we're creating supportive environments for everybody. That's why I put older and all adults and children as well, although we didn't study children. So number one, lift physical barriers first. I also reviewed some related literature related to the topic so that it's a single case study, but we place within the larger context. So the third recommendation, such as crossings and poor drainage, things like that, it was a little lower in our list, but we added because other studies did find those to be important too. So these are the three physical barriers that are easily modifiable and seems to have a role in promoting walking among older adults. And then provide indoor venues, maybe some joint use agreement with the local shopping malls or the school districts, maybe indoor gym facilities. These indoor venues seem to be especially important for older adults. Also, freely available recreation places. We had asked about gyms and those paid private recreational facilities, but those are actually down in the at the bottom of the preferred facility list. So this confirmed the importance of free and green public spaces. And then the next is the importance of streets that are safe, complete, and attractive. And also this is linked to the disparity issues as well. Because of reduced physical and cognitive abilities, even exposure to a minor barrier can really lead to discouraging walking. So we need to be thinking about strategies around inclusive and complete designs that can be really effective in promoting walking among all groups of adults and children. And also traffic calming devices and also management strategies related to traffic and crime safety. A couple of examples. This is my hometown, College Station. A very typical suburban residential community. You can see some non-residential uses, and it's one a little closer to the main street. So this is the kind of environment that we live in. And walking, a lot of infrastructure that we found to be important are lacking in here. No sidewalk. There are a couple of trees, but not very helpful. So potentially, not so many older adults do, bike, but this can also serve as a buffer as well. So in the barrier, one of the top barriers were lack of lighting. Because of the weather, a lot of people tend to walk in the evening hours and night time, so the lighting can be a really important venue. And sidewalks, not only the sidewalks, but also buffers, sidewalks, and then the buffers within it. And then the trees, which is the weather condition is number one barrier, and we, you know, we don't have to give up on the weather. We cannot change the climate, but we can change microclimate, which can be mitigated by the street trees. Studies do report that surface temperature can be mediated significantly, you know, 40, 50 degrees, but the air temperature is sometimes 5 to 10 degrees, which is significant enough for promoting walking and bicycling. And in cases like that. So sidewalks, and some people also reported that, you know, the mailbox is the only destination that they walk to. So pedestrian connections, sidewalks. I'm going to ask you what's missing. Perfect timing, 1 minute. So there's still one thing that's missing in this landscape. So compared to before and after, still much more pleasant and, you know, connected sidewalks, etc. But still something is missing.
Curb cut?
Exactly. The curb cut. And especially for those on wheelchair, this is a significant barrier. So there are things, a lot of these are modifiable. It can happen within the public right-of-way, which is under the public domain, and it can be feasible. So the discussion, we have the conclusion. Older adults who are obese and overweight experience significant environmental barriers to walking. There are age variations. Also, in addition to the environmental barriers and motivators, personal factors are still very important. But things like motivation can be changed by creating an attractive, pleasant environment to walk in. In education programs to target doctors to prescribe or recommend walking more, and also to increase awareness about the benefits of walking can be beneficial. And limitations, small sample size, cross-sectional study, so I confess everything so that I don't get criticized, and limited geographic area, and online survey, and we are doing multivariate at this point. So those are the limitations, and my funding sources and research support and email for those wanting a bit more information about the study. Thank you. Okay. Questions? Try to put one of the slides. Yes.
Just curious, in terms of strategies, you put down having doctors get more active in recommending the walking.
Mm-hmm.
They have notoriously a difficult group.
Yes. It's actually part of the study. Dr. Sanford is right there. He's one of the team members. We also surveyed doctors as well. So this study has the patient survey, doctor survey, and also the patient GPS accelerometer study. So today I'm just presenting the patient study. The doctor survey included suggestions from the doctors as to what can be helpful. And then one of them was the availability of online resources for them. So we developed a packet, and that's linked on their website so that they can see, okay, the patient is coming from the city of College Station. When they click it, then we have a list of places they can go walking safely in their neighborhood. So I know time is the limit for doctor-patient encounters, but the information is there, and if they want it, it may take just a few clicks to get to the resources or recommendations as well. But, you know, your point is well taken. Yeah.
Actually, I just want to talk about the first thing.
think we should do a big applause.